with that so much. One of the things I was thinking about is your father was everything I'm not. I can recall one time my wife asked me to put up some shutters, and she came back and she said they were put up upside down. And I said that's debatable, but she insisted they were. And then she said to me, if it takes any ability, don't even try it. I said, okay. She said, you can rake leaves, but that's... I would like to read a verse of Scripture from Revelation chapter 14, the 13th verse. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now John says, I heard a voice from heaven. And I'm so thankful for these words, write. Write. Write it down. I'm so thankful for the Scripture. Now, if God can create the universe, it's very easy for Him to inspire men to write a book and keep it preserved through the ages. It's what we call the Bible. Write it down. And then He says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed. This is not some groundless hope. You know, usually when people die, whether they have a reason to believe this or not, they say, well, they're in a better place. Well, if I die in the Lord, I am in an infinitely better place. Blessed, blessed by God. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Now, not all the dead are blessed. Only those who die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now think with me, there are two things every man born into this world is born knowing. The first thing everybody knows is that God is. You're born with that knowledge. I love what Romans 1:18 says, the creation. Everybody can see from the creation His eternal power and Godhead. You look at creation and you know somebody made this who is all powerful. That's the only way it could be. And nobody made Him. He is eternal. Everyone is born with that knowledge. Now they might turn the lights off at some point and say, I won't have that. But they'll find out once again that it's true. Everybody's born knowing God is. And everybody is born knowing that God will reward the righteous and punish the wicked. Everyone is born with that knowledge. We're born with this sense of justice. One of the first things a kid learns to think of is, that's not fair. That's not fair. We're born with this sense of right and wrong. God will reward the righteous, and God will punish the wicked. There are only two kinds of people in this world: the righteous and the wicked. There's no in between. In God's sight, I am either righteous or I am wicked. Now, listen to this. All of the righteous, without exception, all of the righteous believe themselves to be wicked. And all of the wicked, without exception, believe themselves to either be righteous or have the potential to make themselves righteous. Now, just write that down. All of the righteous believe themselves to be wicked. And all of the wicked believe themselves to be righteous, or at least have the potential to become righteous. Now, only those that die in the Lord are blessed. Write it down. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. Now, what in the world does this mean to be in the Lord? Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Well, I want to read a passage of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 7 that gives so much light on this. The writer of the Hebrews says in verse 9, "And as I may so say, Levi," that's the great grandson of Abraham, "Levi also, who received tithes under the Old Testament economy," the children of Israel were to pay tithes to the Levites. Now look what he says. "And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." Now, Levi wasn't born. He was not born. And yet the Scripture says he himself paid tithes when Abraham paid tithes. Now, what that lets me know is that in Christ, just as Levi was in the loins of Abraham, in Christ, if I'm in Christ, that means whatever he did, I did. That's what Christian baptism signifies. When a believer is baptized, he's saying, "Here is why I am saved, because when Christ lived, I lived. When he died, I died. My sin was punished. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead." Now, someone is thinking, what does this mean to be in him? Well, the Scripture gives so many illustrations. What did it mean to be in the ark when God sent the flood? How safe were you in that ark? You were completely secure. What happened outside of that ark? You were drowned. It's that simple. In the ark, salvation. In Christ, salvation. Outside of Christ, nothing but the wrath of God. Now here is another beautiful illustration of this. The Passover. God passed through the land of Egypt, and he had them slay a lamb, a spotless lamb, take that lamb's blood, put it over the door of the house. If you were in the house with the blood, what did God say? He said, "When I see the blood." He didn't say, "When you see it." He didn't say, "When I see your works." He didn't say, "When I see your religion." He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now, let's say someone was in that house that had committed a grievous sin that very day. I'm not excusing that in any way, but let's say somebody had committed some atrocious sin that very day, and then they were in the house with the blood over the door. Were they safe? 100 100%. Now that's what it means to be in the Lord. That means when God sees you, he sees the blood. When God sees you, he sees his son. You're in his son. Now that's what he's talking about when he said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. That's where I want to be. I understand what Paul meant when he said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. When God comes looking for me, there's only one place I want to be found. And let me tell you, it ain't up here preaching. It ain't praying. It isn't reading the scripture. It isn't anything but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, next question. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. We see what that means in their security. How does one get in the Lord? How does one get in the Lord? Well, here's what the Bible says. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. The only way you can get in the Lord is if God put you in the Lord. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Listen to this scripture. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us. Talking about election before the foundation of the world. According as he hath chosen us in him. There's the key. In him. Before the foundation of the world. God chose the elect before time began in Christ. And they've always been in him. Somebody says, explain that. I can't. I just believe it. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, when Christ Jesus walked upon this earth, there was a great group of people in him. Remember when he said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness? When Jesus Christ kept the law, so did everybody in him. When he died, so did everybody in him. When he was raised from the dead, so was everybody in him. That is why John said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Now look what he says next. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors. Now, the very moment a believer dies, they enter a state of sinlessness. Perfect conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Beholding his glory. That's where our brother is now. You know, people talk about somebody, well, they're up in heaven looking down on us. No, he's not. Do you think he has any interest in us right now? He's worshiping the Lamb of God in a state of sinlessness, something he didn't know before this time when he puts down the flesh. Now, the Spirit, the infallible Spirit of God, tells us that these blessed dead who have died in the Lord have rest from their labors. Now what does that mean? They have rest from their labors. Does that mean he had spent so much time working for the Lord and doing all kinds of things for the Lord, now all of a sudden he gets to rest from all that? It doesn't have anything to do with what that means. Not a thing to do with it. What this is talking about is the believer no longer has to labor and struggle with sin. Now, an unbeliever doesn't understand that, because an unbeliever doesn't understand what sin is. He thinks he can refrain from sin by doing this and start doing that and start becoming better, and he doesn't really have an understanding of what sin is, but a believer does. It's what made Paul say, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" This is something that a believer struggles with every day. "My sin," said David, "is ever before me." You see, the believer has seen God in his holiness. He's seen himself in his sinfulness. And he's seen Christ as his righteousness before God. And as long as he lives in this flesh, he struggles with sin. Now, why is that? Because every believer has two natures. One holy nature, one sinful nature. Now, that's just the facts. And if you're a believer, you know that. And you're going to struggle with sin, hate sin, be beaten down by sin, as long as you're in the flesh. Now, I love that passage of Scripture in Colossians 1:12 when it says, "He hath made us meet to be in the into saints in light." Right now, I'm meet. I have everything I need to be in heaven. I'm not going to be any more holy there than I am now. Here's the difference. I'm going to put down this flesh. I'm going to put down this sin. And I'm going to be in the very presence of God. Now, rest from their labors. Rest from sin. Now, if you're a believer, that makes you look forward to death, don't you? Now, I realize if you're young and you have children and you think, nobody can raise my children like I can, I realize that. And you don't want to die just yet, but you do too. You do too if you're a believer. To be, have rest from your labor, to no longer be a sinner. Now, look what he says next. He said, "I heard a voice from heaven saying," write this down. This is the scripture. This is why we know it's true. Not because some preacher said it, because it's written in the Word of God. Thank God for the scripture. "Write this down. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." And look at this last line. "And their works do follow them." Now, what's that mean? Their works do follow them. Well, I want you to notice it doesn't say their works precede them as the cause of their salvation. Thank God for that. Their works don't precede them as the cause of their salvation. If you're saved, it's because Christ died for your sins, not because of something you've done. And it doesn't say their works walk along by their side to give them assurance that they're saved. "Oh, I must be saved because look at my life. I've changed. I've become better. I sin less and I'm more holy." Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. If you believe that about yourself, you're deceived. If you can look at your works and think, "I must be saved because I'm so holy and I'm so good and I'm so righteous," you're deceived. Those works don't come along to give us assurance. "I look at my life, I must be saved." But the works do follow them. They do follow them as evidence that they really were saved. Now, what does that mean? Well, I believe the best example of this is Abraham. Abraham. God promised Abraham the promised Messiah is going to come through that boy Isaac. That was God's promise. And then God says, "You take that boy that I promised the Messiah is going to come from, and you take him up onto a mountain that I'll tell you of, and you slit his throat, quarter him, and offer him up as a burnt offering to me." Because that's what it was involved in, this thing of offering up a burnt offering. Now, Abraham could have thought, if I do that, it'll mess up God's promise. But he didn't do that, think that. The scripture says that he went to that mountain and said, I and the lad will go and worship and return to you. You know why Abraham said that? He knew that God would raise that boy from the dead. His works proved that he really believed what he said he did. If he would have refused to offer Isaac, all that would prove was that he did not believe God. But when he offered up his son, he proved that he really did believe God. And I have no doubt that when he put his son on the altar, his son could have stopped it from happening. He was a young man at that time. But he didn't do it because his dad told him, God's going to raise you from the dead. And he went down willingly because he believed God would raise him from the dead. Now, you know the great chapter in James chapter 2 about faith without works is dead, being alone? That's what that means. That's what that means. Abraham proved he really believed what he said he did. Now, think of this glorious scripture. Blessed. Write it down first. Write it down. This is God's word. This isn't some preacher's opinion. This is God's word. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Spirit, they have rest from all their labors, and their works do follow them. Let's pray together. Lord, how we thank you for thy dear son. Lord, how we thank you that you were pleased to make yourself known to this dear saint, and that he was in you. And truly, he's blessed as dying in you. And Lord, our prayer is that we might be found in thy Son. Lord, we know that we can't make ourselves to be in your Son, but we pray that we might be found in your Son. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the grace to believe your gospel. Thank you for the salvation that's in your Son. We pray for your blessing upon us. In Christ's blessed name we pray.